we are. We have made it through another year. Not only is this our last Sunday, but it is literally the last day of 2017. And as we get ready for 2018, I am already aware that preachers all over the world are feeling the pressure and the stress and the anxiety to come up with something for this new year that will inspire, that will motivate, that will create a frenzy and a hype for members in their congregations. Because if there's ever a Sunday that we want to say something that will get us ready and get us eager and enthused and will get us in a sense of expectation, if there's ever a time a preacher wants to have that word, it's going to be on the Sunday, under the last Sunday of the year. And I come with that same pressure, that same anxiety, that same stress. So I am both this morning nervous and worried about what I feel God shared with me and wanted me to share with the Hope Happy Hour family and all those who are streaming with us this morning. No catchy slogan, no dope rallying cry, no hype phrase, no captivating hook or expression. But God shared with me that I needed to come from a totally different angle this morning. That is, God wanted me to tell you that this will not be your best year. I know, it sounds crazy, and who in the world wakes up at 6:30 a.m. to push their way to an 8 a.m. service on the last Sunday of 2017 to hear their own assistant pastor tell them that 2018 will not be their best year. Doesn't really sound like good news. Doesn't sound like it's something that we would want to hear. But I can only relate to you what God told me, that 2018 will not be your best year if and only if you believe there is a magic wand that will make it your best year. Because if that is true, you don't need a preacher this morning. You need a wizard. And I need to let you know I ain't nobody's wizard. But God told me that our 2018 will be no better than our 2017. If we think that the time change of 1 minute from 11:59 p.m. 2017 to 12 a.m. 2018 will create for us something different from any other minute that we've experienced in our lives, this will not be your best year. You see, we get it twisted thinking that things that happen around us are what will determine whether 2018 will be our best year. But the truth is that it has nothing to do with the external things that take place, but it's more about the internal decisions, the internal choices we make during the year that directly connect to the kind of year that we will end up having. It's not about whether we get a new house in 2018, but it's about the self-discipline to budget and work on being financially secure. It's not about another promotion on our jobs in 2018, but it's about attaching ourselves to whatever we know that God has been calling us to do. It's not about whether we find ourselves a spouse in 2018, but it's about whether we will wait and not rush into a relationship that we know God didn't send our way. You see, our best year isn't connected to the observable, but the visible. Not the apparent, but the intangible. Not the superficial, but the spiritual. Our best year is really going to be determined by how we enter into the new year and the focus that we put into making it our best year. Because if we only allow outside moments to dictate our outcomes, then we will always be at the mercy of things on the surface rather than recognizing that we actually have the power within us to create the kind of year that we want. This will not be your best year if you're waiting for something to magically happen out of nowhere, that something will magically take place, but this will only be the best year if you acknowledge that within you, you have everything it takes to make this year coming up better than the year you just came out of. We don't need magic. We need a mindset. We don't need to conjure things up. We need to cultivate. We don't need more prophecy. We need more preparation. We don't need superstition. We need to learn self-mastery. That if you want this 2018 to be better than what you experienced in 2017, it is not up to God, it's up to you. I believe that God shared with me that there are three things every year that keep folks from having their best year. I just want to share those things if you don't mind. The first thing is that this will not be your best year if you don't learn to handle what you can control. Okay, let me help somebody. The serenity prayer starts out like this. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And this is such an important statement because the truth is every year we are faced with things that are totally out of our control. Things that life throws at us that are both unexpected and unpredictable. There's really nothing we can do about those things except accept them and trust that God will work those things together for our good. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's being laid off, whether it's dealing with the death of a loved one, that sometimes life just comes at you, but those things still do not determine whether or not it will be your best year. But if we are honest, the reason our years haven't always ended up how we expected them to had nothing to do with things that we couldn't control. It wasn't because of the things that were out of our hands, but actually it had to do with the things that we could manage, the things that we could oversee, the things that we could regulate. I know this is a hard word this morning, but I'm still going to preach it. And if we want to make 2018 our best year, it's going to be up to us to handle what we know we can control. No more excuses, no more playing victim. No more just letting things happen, but we must be willing to handle the things that we know we can control. That there have been things in 2017 that God gave you to do, and it was under your control, and you didn't do it, and you have nobody to blame but yourself. One of the things I love about being a photographer is that it allows me to take control of what I can control. That's why, as a professional photographer, I always shoot in manual. I never shoot in auto mode. You hear me, Sister Lily? Auto mode allows the camera to manipulate and influence what picture I end up with. The problem is that the camera is not human. So if I leave it up to the camera, it may not always pick the best settings that will give me the picture that I saw in my mind. So I take control of the camera. So I'm not leaving it up to chance, but I take full control over what is it is I want and trust I will get the results that I'm looking for. And it's up to us to not just allow life to do with us whatever it wants when it comes to things that we can control. But we must learn to handle what's in front of us so that we don't allow the outside stuff to overpower what we can actually control. Proverbs 25:28 says it like this: like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. The second thing is this, though. Not only do you have to handle what you can control, but the second thing that I learned and I love about my camera is that when I have control over my camera, it means I have control over the settings. So I'm able to adjust the ISO and the shutter speed and the aperture. So if my pictures aren't coming out the way I want them to, I have to be honest that maybe it's time for me to adjust my settings. Y'all missed it. And when we look at what we ended up with in 2017, if the picture didn't come out the way we expected, it's up to us to begin to adjust our settings, because we control the results in our relationships, in our health, in our marriages, in our jobs, on our families, in our children, in our businesses, in our finances, in whatever God's calling you to do. If you didn't get what you thought you wanted in 2017, before you go into 2018, I dare you to look at some of the settings that you got on your buttons and adjust some of the stuff. Adjust your prayer life. Adjust how you fast. Adjust reading God's word. You need to adjust some things so that you can get the results that you've been looking for. Don't blame nobody else for the things that you can control. But everything that God has put in your hands, you have the power to manipulate it to get the results that you desire. Tell somebody that this will not be my best year if I do not handle what I can control. Look at somebody, tell them 2018, handle your business. Control what you can control. There's some things that will come out of left field that you didn't see coming, but there's some stuff that you already know is around the corner because God already told it to you. So don't act like you're surprised when you get there, because God's already given you everything that you need to handle it. But you got to stop making excuses for what you don't have and believe that God has given you the control of what you want. That's the first thing. First thing, this will not be your best year if you don't handle what you control. The second thing is, this will not be your best year if you don't deal with your kryptonite. The comic book superhero Superman is one of my favorites. Y'all know him, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. But even Superman has something that will leave him almost powerless. It is a radioactive substance that makes him lose his resolve, rendering him easily vulnerable and coerced to doing something he usually is not predisposed to do. It sounds familiar to anybody. I'm talking about kryptonite. It should sound familiar, because all of us, whether we believe it or not, have kryptonite that does the exact same thing. And if we aren't careful, it's our kryptonite that ultimately has the power to render us powerless, easily influenced, and likely to end up doing things that are contrary to who we are and what we were created to be. You see, the sin in our lives is one of the biggest things that keeps us from having our best years. It eats away at time by delaying the promises God has for us to experience. So what should be our best years end up turning into our worst years, because kryptonite once again has stolen blessings, robbed us of miracles, and hijacked God's favor. But if we really want to make 2018 different, if we want to make it one of our best years, we have to deal with our kryptonite. Whatever it is, procrastination, deal with it. Unforgiveness, deal with it. Negative thinking, deal with it. Too much pride, deal with it. Emotional baggage, deal with it. Dysfunctional relationships, deal with it. Unhealthy life habits, deal with it. And I don't know about you, but the list is endless. And just because I didn't say your thing don't mean you ain't got a thing, because every one of us in here got some kryptonite. Kryptonite will continue to take the energy and drive out of us that is required to make our years what we want them to be. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. To hinder means to block, burden, or hold back, while entangle means to complicate, confuse, and compromise. So it's the kryptonite if not dealt with, that will ultimately determine what 2018 looks like for each one of us. But if we want to make 2018 our best year, we have to begin to wrestle, grapple, and contend with what has been stealing our peace, our joy, and our strength. There's no kryptonite that has power over the Spirit of God that lies within each one of us. Nothing that can overtake us if we put in the effort to finally deal with it. James 4:7 says, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The keys to our conquering the kryptonite that is so evident in all of our lives is, number one, to submit to God. That means we can no longer try to do this on our own or without God connected to the process. To submit means we give over or yield to the power of another authority. It means we stop excusing it, condoning it, and defending it, but we actually give up control of it to the one who can handle it. Not only must we submit to God, but second, we must resist the devil. We must take a real and viable stance in 2018 to make an effort to oppose and withstand what we are used to doing. Places that we're used to going. Conversations that we're used to having. I'm just trying to help somebody have a better year in 2018 than they did in 2017. I just want somebody to make this their best year. But if we don't handle our kryptonite, it will continue to make us weaker and weaker and weaker, and we won't have the energy to put into the things that God is calling us to do. The outcome of our 2018 is connected to whether or not we allow the enemy to wreck another year by doing things our way instead of submitting to God's way. The last thing, and I'm out of here, y'all. I already knew this wasn't gonna shout you. That's why I said it was going to be a hard word, but sometimes your assistant pastor can't give you what you want to hear. He got to give all of us what we need to hear. Look at somebody, tell them, handle what you can control. Look at somebody else, tell them, you got to deal with your kryptonite. The last thing is, this will not be your best year if during this year you don't learn to count your blessings. This last lesson is what I came away with in 2017. It was a trip to South Africa that helped me to come to the realization that counting our blessings is critical to how we not only see life, but also how we intentionally live life. Counting blessings makes us grateful, keeps us humble, creates in us space for compassion, helps us recognize opportunities to serve somebody other than ourselves. It is counting our blessings. That's why people end up at the end of the every year waiting with expectation that the next year will be their lottery year. Ready to get out of what they have felt was not really one of their best years. Feeling a sense to do something new, become something new, attract something new. And there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But at some point, we need to learn that it's how we deal with the year that ultimately determines how the year deals with us. Okay, let me help somebody here. Many times we are always looking at what's ahead as if the things are going to be better than what's behind. But could it be that we really don't spend enough time counting all the many blessings that we have had the opportunity to already experience? Could it be that we are so focused on what's next that we miss the freedom of celebrating what's happening right now? Could it be that we become our own self-fulfilling prophets, constantly expressing our need for something better that we sabotage it before it comes because we never acknowledge all that God has already done. But when we learn to count our blessings, it helps us to minimize all the focus on the things that are going wrong. Because for every one thing that you wish God would fix, you have at least another 10 things that God has already done. And counting blessings gives us a better perspective that no matter what things may look like, I've still got a reason to tell God thank you. In other words, even when things aren't necessarily going the way I would want them to, I still have this amazing opportunity to tally up all my blessings. James 1, 2 through 4 says it this way, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I know it takes maturity. But when we count everything, I didn't say some things. Ephesians 5, 20 says, thank God for everything. When we count everything as a blessing, we no longer see our best years as what's happening to us, but we actually see our best years as what is happening for us. That no matter what it is, that God's using it for his glory, and God's using it to help us become better, and God's using it so that we can grow in our faith. And with the counting of our blessings, we end up with an unlimited supply of thankfulness. And thankfulness, can I talk to somebody? It's the key to making each and every year you come up to your best year. Someone asked me this amazing question. They said that I had never even thought about, had never been asked. They said, is New Year's celebration about 2017 or is it about 2018? And I sat and I thought about that thing. And I don't know about you, but most of us find ourselves looking forward to getting out of 2017. And ready to embark with expectations onto 2018. But the truth is that we sometimes are so ready for 2018 to come that we actually forget to thank God for bringing us through and counting all the blessings he allowed us to experience in 2017. I'm trying to help somebody so that this tonight you won't just be excited for the next year, but I thank God that you can start to count your blessings for what he did in the past year. And with 15 hours left in 2017, I wonder if there's anybody here that can reflect for just a minute and count all the blessings that God gave you in 2017. Storms you made it through in 2017. Homes and cars you bought in 2017. Doors that were opened in 2017. Bodies that were healed in 2017. Children that were kept safe in 2017. Ways that were made in 2017. People that were added to your life in 2017. People that were subtracted from your life in 2017. I'm just taking account of those who are counting their blessings. New businesses that got started in 2017. Babies that were born in 2017. Books that were written in 2017. Callings that were accepted in 2017. Chains that were broken in 2017. 2017. Marriages that were sustained. Prophecies that were manifested. Miracles that happened. Is there anybody here that before you reach 12 a.m. tonight can give God glory for all the blessings? God, I thank you for everything that you did for me. You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to make a way. You didn't have to keep me. You didn't have to forgive me. Is there anybody here that'll give God glory and say that this year was already my best year? And I thank God that next year is going to be even better, because I serve the same God, a God that never changes, a God that always blesses me, a God that's always there. Somebody give God glory. Tell somebody, I'm still counting. I'm still counting. May not have been exactly how I wanted my year, but it was still my best year. Why was it your best year? Because I'm still here. So if I'm still here, it was my best year. Because if I ain't learned nothing, I learned that I can survive. I learned that I can make it. I learned that what tried to break me only made me stronger. I wish I could get about 10 folks that it may not have been your best year on paper, but it was your best year in your spirit. I'm growing up now. I'm taking off me off the milk. I'm eating steaks now. I'm eating Ruth Chris now. I don't need a bottle no more. I thank God that God's been with me in everything. I'll give him thanks. Come on, give God some thanks this morning. Dare you next year to get in the practice every day